Well, good morning again. Our scripture to begin with this morning is from the 58th chapter of the book of the prophet Isaiah, verses 6 to 8. Now hear the word of the Lord. Is not this the kind of fasting I have chosen? To loose the chains of injustice and untie the cords of the yoke, to set the oppressed free and break every yoke? Is it not to share your food with the hungry? And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see the naked, to clothe him, and not to turn away from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Join me in prayer. Father, we come again thanking you for the power of your holy word. And the lessons that you have for us from it, we pray that they would be written on our hearts, impressed upon our minds, that we would go forward in obedience to you and the will that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. I woke up this morning and concluded that last night I had gone through puberty. My voice dropped about two keys. This passage from Isaiah that says, the Lord is saying, is this not the kind of fasting that I have chosen? And in this passage, fasting equals worship. Is this not the kind of worship I would have you to perform for me? And what he chooses, as it says here, is to fight injustice, to free the oppressed, to break the yokes, to feed the hungry, shelter the wanderer or the alien, clothe the naked, have loyalty to your own flesh and blood. Here he's speaking to the people Israel. Be loyal to the covenantal relationship I have established with you, my chosen people. And then it finishes up. That then your light will break forth and you will have healing and righteousness, and your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. So, fasting, worship, these are the type of sacrifices and the services that the Lord would have us to perform for him, and he promises us rewards as a result of that obedience. Joe read earlier a story of Elijah, one of my favorite stories. The scene is Elijah is on the run from Queen Jezebel and King Ahab as a result of that little incident on Mount Carmel. You remember? There was a contest between Baal and the priests of Baal and Elijah and his one and true God of the people Israel. And they had the altar and the sacrifice on it, and the guys from Baal ran around all day long, and nothing happened. And finally, Elijah took over. He prayed to the Lord, and the Lord sent down this mighty bolt of fire from the heavens. It consumed not only the sacrifice, but the wood and the altar itself and all the water that had been poured upon it. And then Elijah ordered that the priests of Baal, 400 of them, be killed, and they were. Well, this upset Jezebel just a little bit, and she swore to take vengeance on Elijah by killing him. So Elijah takes off. Now, this took place at Mount Carmel, which is in the northern part of Israel, and he goes all the way down and ends up in the far southern part at Mount Horeb, which is called the Mountain of God. And he hides out in a cave there. And the Lord comes to him. And you remember what he said? What are you doing here, Elijah? It always struck me that that could be said in a couple of different ways, depending upon where you put the emphasis. What are you doing here, Elijah? Or, what are you doing here, Elijah? Or perhaps, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, however the question was framed by God to Elijah, Elijah responds, I'm the only one left. And now they're trying to kill me. And so the Lord says, go outside the cave. Stand on the mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by. And then, as Joe read so well, came a mighty wind that shook the mountain and broke the rocks. And after that, but the Lord wasn't in the wind. No. And after that came an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And the earthquake was followed by fire, but the Lord wasn't in the fire. And then came a gentle whisper. What are you doing here, Elijah? Well, how do these two scriptures come together? Let's look at some other instances where God spoke to specific people. First of all, we're going to take a look at Abraham. Abraham, in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, the first couple of verses, it says here, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. Here I am, he replied. And then God said, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will tell you about. Now you notice here where Abraham replies, he says, here I am. That in the Hebrew is po'ani. And it's just a usual, yeah, I'm here. I'm present. It's like when in elementary school they called out the roll and your name was called Dickie Natrup. Here, that's what this means. Here I am. However, we see in many other parts of Scripture, this turned around a little bit, and it is translated, here am I. This is much more powerful. The Hebrew word for that is hineni, and it means here I am, but more than that, I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm able, and I will make a commitment. Keep that in mind, hineni, here am I. So Abraham is approached by God, and God is testing him, and it had to be going through his mind. You want me to do what? Sacrifice my only son, Isaac? What about the covenant that we had? That my people would be a great people through my seed, which begins with Isaac. But Abraham was a faithful man. We know that. And so in verse 3, it says, Abraham got up and went on his way. So off he went to the region of Moriah. And he had with him two servants and Isaac and a donkey. And on the way, Isaac speaks to him. And it says in verse 7, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, Father, here am I, Abraham replied, ready, willing, and able. And Isaac says, you know, Dad, we got the wood. We got the fire pot. What about the lamb? Abraham replies, God will provide the lamb himself. So they climb up the mountain. Abraham builds the altar. He puts the wood on it, ties Isaac up, puts him on top of the wood, grabs the knife. He's got the knife in the air and ready to go. And then in verse 11, the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Here am I, he said. Still ready, willing, and able, and committed. But the angel said to him, do not lay a hand on the boy, for now I know that you fear the Lord. Abraham passed the test. And we know that right about that time you hear a rustle in the bushes behind him. He turned around and there was a ram with his horns caught in the bushes. The Lord provided the sacrifice. Neat story about Abraham. Let's look to Moses. in the book of Exodus, in chapter 3. Now, the background here is Moses had escaped from Egypt. He was had gone to his father-in-law, Jethro, which, again, is in the far southern part of Israel. And he was tending Jethro's flocks like a good son-in-law. And he went to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. How about that? Same place that Elijah was. And as he was there, he noticed that there was a bush on fire, but it wasn't being burned up. So Moses thought that he would go and check this out. And we go to Exodus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. When the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here am I." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." So Moses replied, "Here am I, Hineni." God goes on to tell Moses that he has heard the cries of his people Israel who are in slavery in Egypt. And then he goes on to say to Moses, so in verse 10, "Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Even though Moses had said, "Here am I," he now starts with the excuses, yeah? "Who, me? I'm not worthy. What if I go and they don't believe me? You're sending me up against Pharaoh and the people, and they've got to believe. And if they say, 'Who sent you?' what shall I tell them? And by the way, you know that I'm not very eloquent. I don't speak well, and I'm slow of speech." Well, after hearing all these excuses, the story goes on in verse 14. "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know he can speak well, and he will speak to the people for you.'" What do we see here? God gave Moses Aaron to help accomplish the task that God had put before Moses. Are we beginning to see a pattern here? Stay tuned. We go to the prophet Samuel. There was a guy named Elkanah. And he had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah, I think was her name. And Hannah was barren. She had no children. But Peninnah had a couple of children. And even though Hannah was the favored wife of Elkanah, Peninnah was making fun of her because she didn't have any children and really making her life miserable. So Hannah goes to the temple and prays in a mighty way. And the Lord hears her prayer. And she bore a son. And she named this son Samuel. And in the Hebrew, that sounds like heard of God. Now you notice in the Old Testament how many names end with El. El was the name for God. You got Ezekiel, Daniel, and here we got Samuel. Well, she named him Samuel. And she dedicated him to the service of God and took him to live in the temple with the high priest Eli. And we pick up the story there in the third chapter of 1 Samuel at verse 3. "The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." How strange. So Samuel goes back and he lies down. Pretty soon the Lord comes again. "Samuel, Samuel." Says, "Here am I." Runs back to Eli. Says, "Eli, you called me. Here am I." Eli says, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." He goes back and lies down. Third time the Lord comes. "Samuel." He runs back to Eli. Eli says, "I did not call you." And then he picks up the story here. In verse 8, then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, your servant is listening.'" The Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." So as they're standing there, God is talking to Samuel, and he says, "Now that you're listening, I want you to know I'm going to do some things in Israel that's going to make all the people's ears tingle." I'm not sure what that means, but all the ears of the people of Israel are about to tingle. And I'm going to use you in mighty ways as well. And we go on a little bit. Verse 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And that's kind of a strange little phrase there, but what it means in context is that Samuel did not engage in idle chatter. When he spoke, he was speaking the words of the Lord, and that had resultant power. And the scripture goes on, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord continued to appear at Shiloh. That's where the tabernacle was at that time. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. We see the pattern continuing. Are you catching on? All right. Let's look at Isaiah then. Chapter 6 of Isaiah. The setting here is Isaiah is recounting at the beginning of chapter 6 that he is seeing a great vision. And in this vision, he sees the Lord upon a throne. And there are seraphim flying back and forth. And they're yelling to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they're yelling it in such a loud voice that the story tells us the doors shook, the thresholds of the doors were shaking, and then the temple filled with smoke. And so we pick up the scripture reading here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. This is Isaiah speaking. "Woe to me," I cried. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." We see here Isaiah's confession that he was a sinful man amongst a sinful people. We see the Lord's cleansing of him, making him right with the Lord. And then the Lord says, whom shall I send? And Isaiah replies, Hineni, here am I, send me. And he could be sent in righteousness because he had been cleansed of his sin to become a mighty prophet, probably the greatest of the prophets, not only to the people of Israel, but also the prophecies concerning the coming promised Messiah. So how does all this come together? Let's look at an even greater promise. Isaiah chapter 58. And this is what I read in the beginning, but I'm going to back up one verse to verse 8. And after all of these things that the Lord said he would have us to do as worship and the kind of fasting that he has chosen for us, he says in verse 8, if you remember, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And then verse 9. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, guess what? Here am I. Here am I. What an amazing thing. God himself, ready, willing, able, and committed. So as he provided for Abraham, the ram, for Moses, Aaron, for Samuel, his word, and for Isaiah, righteousness, he now comes to us and provides for us himself to those who listen and answer the call. So our challenge for 2017. Who knows what he might be calling us to do? I mean, these are some pretty strange things he asked of these other four guys. Sacrifice a son, take on Pharaoh and the Egyptians, lead Israel at a time of turmoil and leading up to becoming, to having the first king, and then finally Isaiah prophesying gloom and doom and the exile, but also pointing forward to the coming Messiah. Whether he come in wind or earthquake or fire, but more likely that gentle whisper, we've got to be listening and we've got to be prepared to answer. Hineni, here am I, send me. And at the end of chapter 58 comes another promise. Verse 14, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Listen, answer, find your joy in the Lord. Have a very blessed 2017 and a fruitful one besides. All God's children said, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus today, tomorrow, and until that soon day when he will come again in glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.